Blog Talk Radio.
Why, Ayana? Yeah, it's going to pod down sooner or later. Good evening. Welcome to Eerie House, oldie tiny radio, show number like 10,000 or something. I don't know. I'm Dale Kay from Spook Show here along with
Dave Binkley from We're in This Really Bad Movie and Spaceship One. And we're here with...
Oh, did someone say Porsche? This is show number 5,627. It is I, Blay Blay, Guard the Ghoul. Okay, sure.
Yep. And we're taking a look at O'Clock. That's right. Quadruple aughts on your old-time digital clock, right? Midnight. The witching hour.
Is that 2400? Is that what military time it is?
It's the same.
Yeah.
It's either O's. It's all O's or 2400 is this kind of the same thing.
Oh. Well, then I would really be confused.
Are you trying to get me to flashback there, Dave? Back to my military times?
I think they said 0100, no? Or something? I don't remember. It's been a while for me, too.
Yeah.
How do you say
11. 11 is your 2300, and then so it gets right up to it, and then it's bing-bong 2400, but then it's like 2400, click, 000, so... Yeah. You might get a feather of it, and then it goes to something else. I need to find the webpage. Where are you guys?
That's what I did for kicks back then, is watch the digital clocks change. Just sit there and wait.
Man. Yeah, that's a slow shift if that's what you're doing.
Did you guys have those 80s digital radio, AM, FM radio clocks?
Oh, yeah.
They were like flat, and they had the little digital readout.
Alarm
had your alarm on it and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I swear. Yeah. Oh, I know. It sounded horrible. I remember having a job in a factory, and the damn whistle for lunch or whatever, the horn for lunch was exactly like my alarm. And it would, kind of like that.
And it would wake you up.
And it would just scare the crap out of me. Do I need this at work to be woken up here, too?
It won't work. Oh, well. Anyway, I tried. I just put batteries in that thing. It still sounds horrible. Anyway.
That's what she said. All right.
I know.
Three tails.
See, and that's where you start to question... Is a pull start better than batteries? You know, I don't know.
It depends what you're doing. Okay. Three tales about midnight.
Mm-hmm.
O'clock. O'clock. How does that sound? O'clock.
Ot.
Sure.
Ot. Not to be confused with ack, which is a Martian invasion, but ot. Okay.
Yeah. They used to call anti-aircraft ack. Give them a little ack, and that was like anti-aircraft.
Ack.
To fire at the enemy. I think that was a World War II expression, or it was a comic book expression, or both.
Okay, so Mars Attacks, did that come out of that? It could have been. We don't know.
No.
Blah, blah.
No.
It's
I don't
mystery.
Think so.
Okay.
Not likely.
Fogg's Bane and good old Bob are with us tonight.
Indeed. Welcome.
So far.
To our collective nightmare.
Uh-huh. And CW just joined us.
We're awake at midnight. It can't be a nightmare.
Yes, it was all about dreams.
Oh, it was, yes.
Yes.
Dale, did you watch the animated version of The Tick in the 80s or 90s?
In the 80s and 90s, yes, and it was hilarious.
Yeah.
It was up there with Freakazoid and Animaniacs.
Yes. Yes, and they had one character that made me laugh more than any other. I'm the Midnight Bomber. What bombs at midnight? That guy. Oh, loved him.
With the kind of a Brooklyn thing going on there?
Yeah. He was, I'm the Midnight. Yeah, it was just, I'm the Midnight Bomber. Yeah, he blew up the superhero club. Yeah, and the tick was there.
Yep. Just in time for the midnight bomber who blows things up at midnight.
CW's
three
on
shows.
The road.
Yeah. Three shows tonight. We've got The Shadow, Nero Wolf, and Macabre.
Macabre.
Macaroons.
Listen to E.G. Marshall. Next time he's on, Dale, listen to E.G. Marshall.
I think it should be Macabre. I know it's not.
Okay.
It should be.
Okay.
It's like corn on the cob, but it's Mac on the cob.
I also think it should be called Poochkies instead of, Pizzakis instead of Poochkies. They're Poochkies, not Pizzakis.
I did mention Borscht when we first showed up. That spell was a silent Z.
CW joins us in the chat as well, and she's cruising somewhere. She's on the road.
Yeah.
Just don't be looking at your texting and watch the road, young lady. We want to see you alive tomorrow. Or even tonight if you get home in time. Or to wherever you're going.
Okay, there we go.
And ugga-boo-ugga-boo-boo-ugga to you, good old Bob, and also to you, Fogs. And
yes.
CW.
And hi-hi. And howdy. Where shall we begin tonight?
There are all three wonderful tales. If you want the one that I think is the most snappy banter, that would have to be Nero Wolf.
Okay.
That's a fun show.
Maybe we should start a little light and get darker towards as we get closer to, but are too old to reach.
That's
midnight.
With two out of the three episodes we had tonight, I had to write down notes on the characters to keep track of who they were and what they were doing. I would get so lost. I'm like, wait, who? What? Huh? Blair.
So this is a fast-paced story.
Well, it has a bunch of characters, and if you miss it, you'll get confused.
This is the third iteration of the Adventures of Nero Wolf, and this is the new Adventures of Nero Wolf. There was one 1943 to 44, one 1945, and this one from October 20th, 1950 through April 27th, 1951. And of all the shows, this one is really what identified Nero Wolf with radio. It was the great Sidney Greenstreet in it. And Rex Stout enjoyed very much Sidney Greenstreet's portrayal of the character that he invented, Nero Wolf.
And this one's entitled, now, I don't think it has anything to do with Paul Revere, but it is entitled Midnight Ride.
Right. No Paul Revere.
No Paul Revere. Originally broadcast, way back in...
March 16th, 1951.
Episode 21.
Ladies and gentlemen, the ringing of that phone bell brings you mystery, adventure. Nero Wolf's office, Archie Goodwin speaking. Who? Oh, yeah, hello, Doc, how are you? What? In trouble, you?
More trouble, you attract trouble, Archie, hang up.
It's our dentist, Dr. Thrummig.
Let him wait. We never can find him when we need him. Tell him it's after office hours.
Doc, you're talking so fast, I can't make head and tails of it. Look, listen, Doc, come on over here and we'll be able to hear you. It'll only take you a few minutes. Right.
You consistently disobey me. I want to work on my paper about odontocosms.
Doc Thrummig has a friend who's in some trouble, and he needs our advice. Besides, we owe Doc a fair-sized little bill, remember?
Money again, Archie. Money is the curse of our times.
Yeah, man. Bring on all the curses that is available.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's that renowned genius who is the bulkiest, balkiest, most ponderous, and most brilliant detective in the world. Yes, none other than that chair-born mass of unpredictable intellect, Nero Wolf, created by Rex Stout and brought to you in a new series of adventures over this NBC network in the person of Mr. Sidney Greenstreet.
This story is one we refer to as the case of the Midnight Ride. Oh, yeah, there was a ride, all right. But it would never have happened if we hadn't received another phone call a few minutes after our Dr. Thrummig phone. It was late in the evening, and Nero Wolfe was studying his paper on orchids while I was absorbed in playing some phonograph records.
Archie, not so loud. I can't possibly think when you play that infernal thing at such volume.
What was that you said, boss?
I said I can't understand why you can't get music from a phonograph without vibrating the top of the instrument.
That's right.
I can't understand why the neighbors haven't called the police. Do you hear that, Archie? Archie!
All right, I'll answer.
You're fired.
Naturally. Hello?
Hello. Is this Archie Goodwin?
I know, Mr. Wolfson. What? Me?
Archie.
Yeah, who is it?
I need help, Archie. Please. Come at once. Please. Oh, please. You and Nero.
Who is this?
This is Gloria... No, don't.
Gloria who?
Ronaldo... West...
Hello? Hello? Well, did you hear that?
Another female bar. What happened?
Boss, who do you know named Gloria?
Gloria? I know nothing about anyone named Gloria.
She said her name was Gloria something. I couldn't quite get the last name. But she did say Ronaldo Road.
Well, it's quite possible that she resides on Ronaldo Road.
First she asked if this was Archie Goodwin speaking, and before I had a chance to say anything, she asked me to come to her at once. She needed help. For you to bring me along. I mean, for me to bring Nero along.
You don't even know what you're talking about.
Well, she said she was Gloria Bar or Mar or something like that, and then she said Ronaldo Road West, and then the scream, and that's all there was.
The usual pattern of your experience with women.
Sounded like a hand was slapped over her mouth, or she was grabbed by the throat. Bring Nero with you.
I am taking no more assignments this week.
Ronaldo Road West, where is it?
I don't believe there is a Ronaldo Road West. If I remember correctly, Ronaldo Road runs north and south and is approximately 12 miles long.
But she said west.
What she probably tried to say when she was interrupted was Ronaldo Road West Chester.
Westchester, of course.
Asked Inspector Kramer to try to check on that phone call.
I'll ask him to try.
By the way, do you expect to find Miss Gloria alive, Archie?
I certainly hope so.
And are you aware that if someone strangled her, then they must have heard her speak your name?
Yes, and yours, too. Shall I open it, boss?
Why not? Let us face it, Archie. Huh?
It's me, Archie.
Wait till I slide the night chain off, Dr. Thrummig.
My nose.
I forgot all about you, Doc. Where have you been?
It's only been 3 or 4 minutes. I have never had such a disturbing night since I had my first patient. But at first I was afraid to leave the house.
And why were you so afraid, Dr. Thrummig?
Well, there were two men sitting in front of my place in a car. Oh, good evening, Nero.
Were they waiting for you, Doctor?
Well, why not? Very likely. Since she called me, I've been so completely unnerved.
Here, Doc, here. Have some brandy.
Oh, no. You know, I never... a small one. I am upset. You understand, Archie. That's better.
Just who called you and upset you so?
Oh, hello, Nero. Did someone call me? When?
You phoned me frantically that a woman called you. I couldn't understand you on the phone.
Oh, yes, poor Gloria. She was cut off.
Oh, Gloria. Did you say Gloria?
Well, didn't I? I thought I did. Oh, dear. What did you say?
I said Gloria.
Oh, my, isn't that strange? I thought that's what I said. No more, please.
We just had a call from Gloria. Who is Gloria?
Well, you remember. We all went to school together. You do too remember. Gloria, you know, she was...
Just what is Gloria's last name, Dr. Thrummig?
Well, it was Gloria Barnsworth. I don't know what it is now.
That's what she was trying to say to me, Barnsworth.
Did she tell you where to find her?
No, she didn't. Oh, dear me. She was just about to tell me when I said I'd call you and Archie and get your help. And then she was cut off.
How do you know she's the Gloria Barnesworth you knew and I'm supposed to know?
My. Could you open the windows?
Why, yes.
Archie.
Oh, sorry, Doc. The air outside's contaminated.
Oh, is that so? With what?
Oxygen.
Oh, these factories. Oh, well, I found her picture in an old class photo. Here it is.
Oh, yeah, now I remember. But, Doc, you and this gal were several years ahead of me in school. I'm not in this picture, so she must be about 40 now.
Well, gentlemen, you both seem to have the situation well in hand now. So, if you'll excuse me, I will retire to my room.
Yes, but we don't have anything figured out yet.
Ah, but you will. Let me know in the morning how successful you have been. Good night.
Well, anyway, a woman called here, and just as she was about to tell me who she was and her address, she was cut off as though she was strangled.
Yeah, Archie, did you say someone strangled her?
I don't know, Doc. I hope not. Well, let's start our search along Ronaldo Road.
Archie, don't answer it. They're after me. The men in the car, they saw me come in here.
After you, nonsense.
They found out Gloria phoned me. Don't let them in.
Now, how could you know all that?
Oh, dear me. Do you mind? A short one? I'm so weak tonight. Please, Archie, don't open it. I warn you.
Just relax, Doc. I'll handle this. Good evening.
Evening. Are you Archie Goodwin?
No, he is.
Yes. No, I'm not. He is.
Put up your hands. Unhook the night chain. Now just turn off this light.
Oh, I told you.
Where's Wolf?
Oh, he's been in bed for hours.
And who is this little man?
Why, I'm...
Don't you know? This is my brother Cuthbert.
Yes, he's quite right. I'm a bit older than he is.
Shut up, Cuthbert.
All right, get your coats and hats off that rack.
What for?
We're all going for a little ride along the river, and it's a bit chilly.
Oh, dear me. I feel faint. I'm getting dizzy.
Get your hat.
Yes, sir.
And put that bottle down.
But it's so cold out there.
Get along. Here's the car. Now, Mr. Goodwin, hand over that gun in your pocket.
But I haven't got... Okay, there you are.
Thank you. Now get in the car. You get in the front seat with the driver, Goodwin. Your brother can get back with me. Okay, you know where we're going, driver.
Yeah, but
what? Get going.
But do you know who this guy is?
I do. Why?
Well, now, look, Well, this guy is Archie Goodwin.
What if he is?
Well, this won't work. I mean, I didn't know it was going to be Goodwin. He's with Nero Wolfe.
What's your name, pal? I can't see, but I seem to recognize your voice.
Well, you see, it was like this. I was in a...
Are you going to shut up and start driving?
Okay, I'm going.
See here, it's getting very late. I don't like this. Where are you taking us?
Keep calm, Doc.
Yeah, don't get excited. Just take it easy. Listen, Goodwin, I got a record
Shut
for
up, you.
My...
What's the idea back of all this, friend?
We're off the road here, driver.
Yes, but we're way out in the country.
Now, we'll all get out here.
Now, wait a minute.
I said get out. You too, driver.
Oh, now, wait a second. What's the big idea?
Now, all of you start walking over to that clump of trees. Go on.
What's he going to do?
What do you think?
Okay, that's good. Just stand there. Now get out your gun, driver.
Oh, now, wait a minute. This is
the way you... Get out your gun, and don't turn around, driver. Now let him have it. Go on, or I'll kill you.
I don't go in for this kind of stuff. Besides,
shoot and empty your gun into them. Go on. Now just drop your gun on the ground. There. Now I will take Goodwin's gun, and after I finish with it, I'll just toss it over beside his body.
You what? Hey, now, wait a minute.
You'll notice I have gloves on.
Hey, Doc. Dr. Thrumming.
Oh.
You all right, Doc?
Oh, Archie, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I got you into this. I can't last long.
Where are you hit?
Tell Nero I make him a present of his new bridge work I put in.
Let me have a look at you.
I wanted to die in my bed with my friends around
You're me. You're not bleeding.
I wanted the choir to sing. What? I'm not bleeding?
No.
Are you?
No. The driver was a bad shot. He missed both of them.
Then what am I doing down here on the ground?
You fainted at the first shot. I dropped purposely on the second shot. He missed every time. Come on, get up from there. We're very lucky people.
What became of them?
Hand me my gun.
Oh, is this your gun?
Wrap it in this handkerchief. Come over here. Yep. Here he is, the driver.
And he's dead. This is dreadful, Archie. What do we do now?
Got a lighter?
Here's my pocket flash.
Well, here's his gun beside him. Don't touch it. Have a look through his pocket. I wish I knew what he meant when he said he had a record for me someplace. A picture of a girl. It says, to Mike from Violet. Mike. This fellow's face is certainly familiar, but I can't... Hey, wait a minute. Mike Jordan, that's it.
Mike Jordan?
Yeah, Wolf cleared him on a frame-up 3 years ago, and this girl Violet is an entertainer in a nightclub downtown.
Violet, yes, but what does all this have to do with Gloria?
Strange, there's no other identification on him. Maybe the other guy took it off of him. Well, now we got to find Violet.
How? We can't even find Gloria.
I think now that this guy Mike Jordan missed us deliberately. Let's start hoofing it back to that last crossroad. There was a telephone there. I'll call Nero. So that's the story so far, Mr. Wolf. Sorry to wake you up, but we wanted you to know.
Yes, we did. Oh, such a night.
What was your reason for telling the man that Dr. Thrummig was your brother?
Well, I didn't want him to know that it was Doc because Gloria had called Doc and he must have known about it.
And the driver turned out to be Mike Jordan. And what did Mike say to you in the car?
Well, he didn't finish, but he said, I got a record for you, Goodwin. And then the man shot him up.
And when you located Violet at her place, she was cataloging recordings, hmm? Bring it in here now, Archie. Sit down, Dr. Thrummig.
Yes, I am a bit weary.
Come in, Violet. Violet, this is...
Hey, wait a minute. You're Nero Wolf.
Sit down, Miss Violet.
Oh, what's the idea, Mr. Goodwin? Why'd you bring me here?
Will you look at this photo? It says, to Mike from Violet.
Where'd you get this?
I got it, Violet. What we want to know is, where's Mike now? What's he doing? Can you tell us where he lives?
What's Mike done now?
Can you tell us his address?
Maybe.
Do you know who he's been working for?
Yeah. A guy with a big car and a lot of dough.
You seen this man?
Yeah, kind of a good-looking guy. I think his name is Durant or something like that.
I understand you've been occupying yourself with cataloging some phonograph recordings.
Yeah, that's what I was doing when Mr. Goodwin came in. Mike's got a home recorder over at his place.
Do you have all the records that have been made on the machine so far?
No, just what we made in the last week. Lots more at his place.
Do you and Mike know of a woman named Gloria?
No. At least I don't remember.
It was on Rinaldo Road. Gloria Barnsworth was her maiden name.
Where is this Rinaldo Road? I don't know.
It's in Westchester, we think.
I've never been there. What has Mike done, Mr. Wolf? Is it bad?
As a matter of fact, Mike is in the clear.
Good.
There is no charge against him, and there never will be. You haven't seen him for a couple of days?
No. And I never go to his apartment unless him and some guests are there. Do you know where he is?
Will you give me the address of his apartment?
Okay. 324 East 35th Street.
Thank you very much, young lady.
What's all so mysterious? Oh, something's happened to Mike. I can tell by the way you talk.
Very well, Archie. You have a special visit to make. Look for the machine, and it's quite late, so you had best hurry.
Well, I'm going with you, Archie. Good night, Nero. Oh, I mean, good morning. Oh, I don't even know what day it is.
Come along, Violet. We'll drop you at your place first.
That guy sounds just like Floyd the Barber, doesn't he?
Yes. Who became Floyd the Barber, yeah.
Oh, that is him?
Yep.
Ah,
yep.
Good.
Howard McNair.
Yes.
Howard McNair.
Radio legend, Floyd the Barber. Pluto TV had a few of the Mayberries from when Floyd was a lot older. And you could tell he was ailing. It was kind of sad, really.
Well, he had suffered a stroke, and basically everything he did at the end of that show was sitting in the barber chair or on a bench outside the barber shop.
Yeah, he was not real. Like...
But Andy wouldn't let him go. He had him on it. What's weird also on that show, the mayor was Parley Bear, who was Chester on Gunsmoke, and, of course, Howard McNair was Doc on Gunsmoke, the radio Gunsmoke.
Yeah, and...
And Don Knotts himself was also in a radio kids kind of serialized Bobby at the B-Bar-B Ranch or something like that. And he was, and Don Knotts was on radio from there. And that's how, when he met, that's how Andy Griffith knew Don Knotts was through that radio show. So,
Andy was fiercely loyal to his people, for sure.
He was, absolutely.
Oh, hey, we've got the Angel Asylum just popped in. Hello, Angel Asylum.
Back. Hope
blah,
you're
blah.
Feeling well, Angel. Welcome back.
Yeah,
hope
she's been
well.
Through heck. She's on the mend still. All the best.
But joined us tonight. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You're just in time for part two of Nero Wolfe's Midnight Ride.
We'll yeah, I have to agree with you, Gar. There's certainly a lot of action going on so far here.
Yeah, this is a fast-paced little show here, so let's wrap it up.
Although Nero Wolfe would never have completed a midnight ride, but because they couldn't find a horse big enough to carry him. All right, there you go.
And he wouldn't leave the house to get on the horse anyway.
Well,
that's true. As we will find out in part two of Midnight Ride.
One more time.
Well, there we are, Doc.
Yes, has his name right on it. Mike Jordan.
Well, we're fairly certain that no one's in there. Hey, what do you know? It isn't locked. Lights are on.
I know.
Listen.
Yes, a light humming noise. Huh. But where is it coming from?
Over in that corner, those wall cabinets.
There it is. A radio. And a phonograph combination.
Yes, and a recording machine. And the recording arm's still down on the record. Just lift it off and put the playback needle on. Yeah, there we are.
Rinaldo Road.
And that's where our Gloria called from, so they're all tied in together. Come along, Doc. We're going back to Mr. Wolfe again, and we'll just take this record with us.
Well, Archie, I guess this phonograph was worthwhile after all. Yes, indeed.
Hey, don't you find this a very interesting recording, Nero?
I'm sure we're going to add it to our collection.
And these are the two men who took you on the ride.
That's right. But we're really no further along in our desire to help Gloria.
That's right. Where on Rinaldo Road? Boss, if we can find the address, will you go with us down there or over there or wherever it is?
I might. And you already have the clue to the address.
We have? Where?
In that phonograph recording. Play it again, Archie. Just the part where he uses the telephone. And slow the speed way down. Then take down the numbers I call off.
Okay, boss.
Six. 5, 4, 3, 2, 2, 3. That's enough. By slowing down the record, we were able to count the clicks of each number he used on the dial. Now, there's the number the man called. We hope it is on Ronaldo Road. Have Inspector Kramer get the address of that number combination, and we are ready to make our assault.
I'll call Kramer, and then I'll get the car out. It hadn't been out for weeks. Maybe it won't start.
No such luck, Archie, I assure you. No such luck.
Oh, here it is. I think we must go through this big gate.
Yes, yes, there's the number. 23, Ronaldo.
Slip up to the entrance as softly as possible. Turn out your headlamps.
Here we are, boss. Easy now getting out.
Don't pull, Doctor. Don't pull on me. There we are. Now come along.
Yeah, spooky sort of place, isn't it?
All big houses are like that. Must be 20 rooms.
Yeah. There's not a light in the place.
Use the knocker, Archie.
Uh-oh, stand back. Here comes somebody.
Yes?
Is Gloria in?
What? Gloria? And who are you?
We are here to see Gloria. Come.
It's this hour of the night? Certainly not.
Just a moment. She's an old friend of mine. Yes, and his too. He's Archie.
My good man, what is your name?
Jennings, sir. And the household is in bed at this hour.
What is it, Jennings? Who's at the door?
They're asking for you, Miss Gloria.
For me? Well, come in, gentlemen. You may go, Jennings. Please.
Very well, miss. Just as you say.
Now, what did you want?
Say, Doc, is this the Gloria?
Well, I don't know. It doesn't seem...
Are you Gloria?
Yes.
Well, why did you call us?
Oh, then you're Archie Goodwin.
Yes, and I'm Dr. Thrumming. But you
I
are...
I called you because I need your help. Desperately.
Gloria, oh. What is going on here this Oh, and who are these gentlemen?
Well, you see, Uncle, Mr. Goodwin came...
Came to see you? Why?
Well, Because I...
I think you'd better go to your room, my dear. Don't you think that is best? Your room and rest?
No, I don't want to. I won't.
Go to your room.
No, I won't. I can't. All those people walk in and out. They want to kill me.
Jennings, take her to her room.
Yes, sir. Come along, miss.
No, I won't. I won't. Let me go. There are hundreds of people. They'll kill me.
Come along.
No. Please.
I'm so sorry. There's nothing we can do with her. Now, Mr. Goodwin.
Yeah?
What is it you wish?
The girl called you Uncle. Oh, pardon me. I'm Nero Wolfe.
How do you do, Mr. Wolfe? Yes, she called me Uncle, but I'm not really a relative. I'm Dr. Gunther, retained by the family. As you can see, the girl is quite ill.
Well, we're old friends of Gloria's, and we'd like to see her.
But you just saw her.
We don't refer to this young lady. We have in mind the elderly Gloria. Now come, Dr. Gunther. You know to whom we refer.
What? You mean the girl's aunt? Well, it's very strange. If you are a friend of the aunt's, that you are not aware of her condition.
Her condition?
Yes. The aunt has been bedridden for nearly a year. Paralysis. And it seems to be most coincidental with your visit, but she passed away this afternoon.
Died? Gloria?
This afternoon. But how could that be?
We'd like to see the remains, Dr. Gunther.
Yes, we'd like to see the remains. Just where are they?
They are here, Mr. Goodwin. And if you and your brother and Mr. Wolfe will step this way to the small parlor. There you are, gentlemen. I'll leave you alone. I'll be in the library.
Well, gentlemen, there she is. What do you say? Do you recognize this woman?
Well, yeah. It's been many years, but that is Gloria Barnesworth.
Well, good heavens, yes. It's Gloria, all right. Poor woman. I remember now. She married a very wealthy manufacturer named Kenton, who died. She's remained a widow, I guess.
He said she died this afternoon. Are you sure it was an elderly woman who called you this evening? And by the way, just feel her forehead.
It's warm. She couldn't have been dead more than an hour.
She isn't dead. No signs of pulse. Your cigarette case, please. Very slight moisture. Respiration barely perceptible. She's under heavy narcosis. Been given a heavy dose lately.
Let's get out of here.
Wait. Do you recognize the uncle, rather Dr. Gunther?
No, do you, Thromick?
No.
Does he look like the man who took you for a ride?
It was too dark, boss, and he was all bundled up in heavy clothes.
Let's get out of here.
The door was locked after we came in.
He's right. Come on, Doc, let's put our shoulders to it. One, two...
Go!
Well, gentlemen, what on earth does this mean?
Why'd you lock the door?
Oh, I'm sorry. It's a spring lock. I had no intention of locking the door.
Then I suggest, Archie, that you have it repaired. And now, Archie, will you step to the door and let Inspector Kramer in? He followed us up the driveway.
There, about time. Getting cold out here.
Inspector Kramer, this is Dr. Gunther. In that room is a woman he claims is dead. She is actually under the heavy influence of narcotics.
Yeah? Well, who is she?
Mrs. Gloria Kenton, widow of the wealthy shoe manufacturer.
And this attractive young lady coming down the stairs is supposed to be mentally ill, which I do not believe. Her name is Gloria, too. A niece of the elder Gloria.
But Archie and I both knew Gloria Barnsworth. Kenton.
I get it.
And I suggest that this man is not a doctor, but his young Gloria's husband, and they're attempting to force the Aunt Gloria to change her will in their favor.
This is utterly ridiculous.
The aunt was able to phone Doc Thromick and me tonight, but she was apparently caught in the act.
And this man, who is posing as the uncle, hired Mike Jordan to drive his car while he picked up Archie with the intent of killing him.
Well, this is the same man?
The same. And if Mike Jordan hadn't recognized Archie, both of you would be quite dead. This man double-crossed Mike and killed him, believing that the whole thing would be blamed on Mike. Mike deliberately missed.
All right, so what's he going to do about it? Come on, let's get out of here fast.
Look out, he's a cop.
All right, now get those hands up and keep them up.
Come along, Archie, I have another appointment. The inspector can handle it from here on.
Oh, dear me. What happened? Am I all right?
Yeah, you just fainted again when the shooting started.
Oh. Really quite fortunate that Mike Jordan recorded that conversation. Fortunate indeed.
How did you know this uncle was the same guy who took us for a ride?
First, by his speech pattern, he is undoubtedly a Canadian. But you must have missed the most important slip-up.
What was that?
When he escorted us to see the body, he said to you, Archie, if you and your brother and Mr. Wolfe will step this way... Now, how would he believe that Dr. Thromick was your brother? No one mentioned it.
Of course, the clue I planted and then missed myself.
Quite right, Archie, quite right. What time is it?
8 a.m. I certainly appreciate your coming out for me on this deal.
Oh, but I didn't do it just for you. There is an Orchid Lovers Convention this morning at 9 o'clock.
What? And you mean...
Yes. I'm sure you'll enjoy it tremendously. Both of you.
Oh, brother.
What's that?
Nothing, Doc. Nothing at all.
You have been listening to The New Adventures of Nero Wolfe, starring Sidney Greenstreet. Tonight's transcribed story by John Edison was based on the characters created by Rex Stout. This is an
episode
program produced and directed by J. Donald Wilson. In the cast were Harry Bartell as Archie Goodwin, and Howard McNear, Gene Bates, Peter Lee, Bill Johnstone, Grace Lenard, and Jay Novello. Next week, at this same time, Nero Wolfe and Archie will bring you The Case of the Final Page. Don Stanley speaking.
Never tickle guard during
the
show.
Good times mean good times on NBC.
Oh, my God.
All right, hide the feather. Hide the feather. All right.
Hide
that
the feather.
That wraps up Nero Wolf, a tale from which I'm quite sure we can learn something. Eerie House Radio proudly presents Gar's Moral of the Story.
All right. When accepting a doctor, give them a checkup before they give you one.
Eerie House Radio proudly re-presents A Car's Moral of the Story.
The butler doesn't always do it until he does.
Hey, Dale, we don't pay a guard a double for double morals, do we?
No.
You pay me twice as much as you do now.
Yeah, 2 times 0 is still 0. That's fine. And I believe a wonderful person has joined us in the studio.
Ooh. Yay.
Hello, Miss Wonderful.
Cueing the CW.
Yes. Somebody step on a duck?
Speaks fluent Martian.
Oh, I'm sorry. Aflac is not paying for airtime, so skip them.
Oh, Aflac.
Okay. Aflac. Oh, yeah. Well,
I am now... stable. I'm as stable as I'll ever get, but I'm not careening down the highway anymore.
Careening? That's not good.
Careening. Now we know how she drives.
I'm glad you brought up the Aflac duck, CW, because we did not mention when Gilbert Godfrey passed away, who was the original Aflac duck.
Oh, was he?
Many things. Yeah. He was many, many things.
Many things, right.
To many people.
Yes.
Do you guys remember why he lost that job, why he got fired?
He said something inappropriate, I'm sure.
It was after the tsunami hit Japan.
Oh.
And he made a comment, something to the effect is, that's okay if you lose your girlfriend, because another one will float by in half an hour. They fired him for that.
Too soon?
All he had to do was not run that on the commercial,
That's all he had to say. Too soon?
Too soon, not to be confused with monsoon. Yeah, okay.
Yes. Sure. Oh, goodness. No, I'm sorry.
All those lovely residuals gone.
What is happening?
Too bad. He was the parrot in, what was it?
Aladdin? No.
Yes, Aladdin. He was the first parrot, at least. First or second.
I have no idea what I'm doing. All right.
He even did some movie hosting on USA Network, I believe.
Yes. Up All Night, I think.
Yes, for a while he did.
Rhonda's show was off.
Yeah. Correct. I had no idea his health was so delicate.
Yeah, I didn't.
Everyone is.
Yep. I remember him on a very funny episode of Married with Children. They were stuck on a raft with him. It was like he's doing comedy while they're floating out in the ocean. Like, please, God. Why?
Last guy in the world you'd want to be stuck on a raft with in the ocean.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I think that was the gist of it, because it was pretty...
He'd be exactly the person you'd want to be stuck on a raft with.
Yeah, true. That could just... Yeah.
Yeah, Dave, as I recall, if I recall correctly, I could be wrong. maybe you could correct me, but when he hosted Up All Night, he was replacing Ron Dashear. They had to get another guy, you know, to work with him because they were replacing, you know, two boobs with two boobs. Hello.
Okay.
I'm shocked and astonished.
Go.
Are you?
Go sit in the corner, Gar. Go sit in the
corner.
Okay.
I never, ever. Not me. No.
What happened here? Oh, son of a bubba. I cannot sew to save my skin today.
He's gone mad.
I've been mad. Oh, I'm mad. I'm very mad. Yeah, okay. What am I going to do here? I don't know what I did. Well, I guess I'll cut that. I'm trying to sew.
He used to be crazy, but now he's mad.
So what?
I'm sewing on a patch on my cape so I can affix a cape clasp. I'm trying to sew on something to affix a cape clasp onto my cape that I wear every Saturday.
To this I say,
and all I'm doing is
careful, Icarus.
Yeah, I'm stabbing my fingers with all these pins and screwing up these stitches. I'm not the tailor I used to be.
Sounds like a lot of bloodletting, if anything.
Yeah, it is. It is. I'm bleeding all over my cape.
It's all worth it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Makes it more authentic that way, Gar.
And I can't find my seam ripper. I am just, I'm beside myself.
Yeah, if you're going to be a horror host, give them real blood. Blood.
Yeah,
blah.
Exactly. Blood. That's right.
Yeah. All good. Got a whole lot of radio tonight.
Ow! Son of a bubba. I did it again. Oh, man. Woohoo. That one hurt.
Can't you use a stapler?
Yeah, but then my fingers would really hurt. What? Stop using pins. Start using staples. Ow, that does hurt. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. We got a lot of radio.
Alrighty then.
Lot of radio.
Whole lot of radio.
We'll do some of the home repair stuff later. I'm with our next feature, the shadow.
Shadow. Oh yeah.
Another Taylor Midnight.
And again, I had to write down character list to follow this because I kept forgetting who was who. That whole thing.
Well, who else would you be out midnight than a wolf, than an owl? You know, an owl.
Or a hooting collie. They have those.
Or a hooting collie.
Yes.
Or a needle stabbing. Gar the Ghoul. I don't know that.
Those are the things that hoot. But let us listen to the organ that played at midnight from the shadow.
Wait, what? Oh, yes.
Yep. The organ played at midnight, originally broadcast.
There's information. The shadow, originally, where are you? Where were you? You were right there. November 9th, 1941.
We rehearsed
episode
so long.
231.
We kept rehearsing and rehearsing.
Who knows what evil lurks in the hearts of men? The shadow knows.
The thrilling adventures of the Shadow are on the air, brought to you each week at this time by your neighborhood Blue Coal dealer. These dramatizations are designed to demonstrate forcibly to old and young alike that crime does not pay. Don't blame the weatherman when a sudden unexpected freeze catches you unprepared, your home insufficiently heated. Guard against that happening. Fill your coal bin right now with Blue Coal, the quality home fuel of low cost. With your bin filled with Blue Coal, you're prepared for any kind of weather. Order a supply of blue coal right away and get a whole bin full when you order, so there won't be any chance of being caught by a possible shortage. Today, there is a plentiful supply, but who can say what changes the future may bring? Put in your winter supply of blue coal right now and be safe. The Shadow, mysterious character who aids the forces of law and order, is in reality Lamont Cranston, wealthy young man about town. Several years ago in the Orient, Cranston learned a strange and powerful secret, the secret of hypnotic power to cloud men's minds so that they cannot see him. Cranston's friend and companion, the lovely Margot Lane, is the only person who knows to whom the voice of the invisible shadow belongs. Today's drama, The Organ Played at Midnight.
A knife. What an instrument a knife is. Have you ever watched a knife in the hands of a skillful surgeon? And did you shiver a little, then turn your eyes away? Yes, so did I. I remember exactly when it happened to me. I was watching the knife in the hands of Dr. Alexander Gibson. Gibson was a surgeon of the highest caliber. Even Professor Dana Williams spoke of him as one of the three most capable men he had ever had the honor to teach, thus ranking him with his colleagues, Dr. McGill and Dr. Nelson. How strange the thought of violence should have occurred to me. Stranger still, considering that it was the very next night Gibson burst into McGill's study. Heated words passed between the two, and then...
This case was to have been the most startling in my surgical career, Dr. McGill.
You forget that the patient asked to have me in attendance, Gibson.
I never agreed to a consultation.
I presumed on our friendship.
You presumed on our friendship for the last time, McGill.
That's the way you want it, eh?
Yes, that's the way I want it.
Then you'll get the truth. You were bungling the case like a schoolboy. Old Williams would have fired you out of class for the job you were doing.
Oh, so I'm to gather that you saved the situation.
Exactly.
So the credit is yours, eh? Belongs to you.
Every bit of it. Well, doesn't it, Gibson? Well, can't you speak?
I haven't anything else to say.
Oh, you agree with me then.
Good night, McGill.
I've tried to be reasonable with you.
I said good night.
All right. Good night, then. But remember, we're not parting as friends, Gibson.
And we're not parting forever either, Dr. McGill.
Well, I'll have something to say about this at the medical board. Oh, no, no, I shouldn't let myself go like that. Nerves don't stand it well, not at all. Sedative is what I need. Here, what's that? Oh, the shade. Jumpy, jumpy, unsettled. If I were my own patient, I'd... Someone at the door. Well, who's there? Well, who is it? Can't you hear me? Well, didn't you... Oh, you. Oh, I thought that you were... You have a knife there. Did you know you had a knife in your hand? Oh, it's some kind of a joke, isn't it? You're playing a joke on me, aren't you? Aren't you? Answer me. Answer me. Well, what are you going to do? No. No, don't come any closer. Well, what are you doing? Stop it. Stop it. Oh, oh, you fool. You're cutting my arm. Ah!
A knife. What an instrument a knife is. Now a tool. Now a weapon. But its point goes deep. And a knife is always thirsty. And after the shrieking thrust in the dark, there is silence. And a shroud. And the black drapery of the march of death hangs heavy in the startled air.
Lamont, I want to get away from the sound of it.
Of what, Professor Williams?
The funeral march. It depresses me.
You can understand what a shock Dr. McGill's death has been to you, Professor Williams.
A deep shock, Miss Lane. I won't forget it soon.
Is there anything we can do, sir?
Thank you, Cranston. Thank you. You always were one of the kinder fellows. You were never too interested in my classes, I'm afraid, but you were always a good chap. So was poor McGill, a fine, bright boy.
Yes, Professor.
But that anyone could kill him and not be content with that, go to the horrible extreme of amputating his right arm. I I can't bear to think of it.
Perhaps we'd better not, sir.
Yes. Yes, you're right. You're right. After all, my life goes on. There'll be new men for me to teach. I'm glad of that. And I'm glad to have you beside me today, Cranston.
Thank you, Professor.
It would be good, too, to have Gibson and Nelson with us. They're all that's left of McGill's famous triumvirate.
Well, I'm sure they're here, sir. We must have missed them.
Gibson isn't, I know. He called me. Couldn't come, he said. Oh, but see here, I've been rather gloomy company, I'm afraid. How would the two of you like to take the 5 o'clock train back to the college with me?
Oh, nice of you, Professor.
The homecoming football game is being played this afternoon. And if victory is ours, we should be just in time for the bonfire celebration.
Well, we'd like to very much, but it's rather a long trip and... Well, we hadn't planned on it, Professor Williams.
If we'd known.
I only thought that we should be together on a day like this.
Professor Williams!
What was that?
Someone called my name.
Professor Williams!
Oh, it's Dr. Nelson. Good morning, my boy. You know Mr. Cranston.
Professor Williams, I think I deserve an explanation.
What's that, Nelson?
I don't understand this wire you sent me, sir.
The wire I sent you? I haven't had any reason to wire you, Nelson.
One never has a reason for such a thing as this. Listen to what it says. Take a good look at Dr. McGill and his coffin, Nelson. For you'll be the next to be wept for.
What? Signed?
John Smith.
You don't know a John Smith, of course.
Of course not.
But you thought I had sent that, Nelson? Why?
A postmark. It was sent from the college telegraph office.
It was? What time?
8:45 this morning.
I've been in the city since 7.
Well, of course, sir. Someone else sent this little love note, and they didn't mean it for a joke.
Well, what do you think, Lamont?
I think that if Professor Williams' invitation to go back to the college with him is still open, the three of us would be very wise to take it. Well, here we are, sir. From the looks of things, victory was ours.
I'll take care of the cat.
George, Professor Williams!
Good evening, gentlemen. Good evening.
Good evening, sir.
Who won the game?
We did, sir.
Oh, we're building a swell bonfire, sir.
You should have been at the game, Professor. You'd have enjoyed it.
I would have very much, Tompkins. But there was something I had to do, which I didn't enjoy at all. I want to congratulate you men, and I want you to know that I'm proud of you.
Hooray! Things haven't changed much, have they, Nelson?
They haven't changed at all, Cranston. He's still the idol of every boy here.
Shall we go inside now? I think Anna, my housekeeper, will have a cup of tea for us. Goodbye, gentlemen, and let the flames leap high for the conquering hero. Hooray! There isn't much for you younger folk to do in a little college town like this, but... I am going to perform quite an interesting post-mortem examination for my anatomy class tomorrow, and I thought perhaps you'd like to be in the amphitheater.
Well,
yes, Professor,
but
of course.
On second thought, I realize that Miss Lane and you might not find it altogether to your taste.
Why, Margot and I would like very much to come, wouldn't we, Margot?
Yes, I'd love to.
Well, how about you, Dr. Nelson?
I? Why, Cranston, the day will never come when I won't be able to learn something from Dana Williams.
Thank you, Nelson. You're welcome to my home.
Thank you, Professor.
Anna. Anna.
Oh, you're back, Professor.
Yes, Anna. What about a pot of tea and some biscuits?
Oh, yes, sir. Ready in a jiffy, sir. Oh.
What is it, Anna?
Well, I was just wondering what it was you wanted done with it, sir. Was it left out to be sharpened?
What is that, Anna?
Your knife, Professor.
My knife? Why, all of my knives are in my kit in the laboratory.
But when I come in to clean up just after you left, there it was shining up at me plain as day.
Where is it, Anna?
Right in the study on top of the desk, sir.
Professor Williams, do you mind if I have a look at it?
Why, no, of course not. Come along, Nelson.
Right.
I don't understand it. Anna's right. There it is, just as she said.
May I see it, sir?
Of course, Cranston.
Professor Williams.
Yes, my boy.
Look here, on the back of the blade.
Initials.
Why, they're A.G.
A.G.? Why, Nelson, that's...
Alexander Gibson?
Oh, no. Miss Lane, would you answer that for me, please?
Yes, of course, Professor. Hello? Oh, yes, he's here. It's for you, Dr. Nelson.
Oh, thank you. Hello? Yes? What? How long? I see. Thank you very much. Professor Williams.
Yes, Nelson.
That was my office in town. They've been phoning all day about Gibson. He's been missing, it seems, ever since the night poor McGill was murdered.
Well, gentlemen, looks like the bonfire's begun.
Gee, this amphitheater's cold.
Yeah, sure is.
I wanted to sleep this morning anyhow.
If you miss his postmortems, old Williams will never forget it.
Not losing your nerves, are you, Margot?
Well, not yet. I can't say that the sheeted form there on the table is helping me very much, though.
After all, it's just an examination, Margot. If you keep remembering that it's all in the interest of science, you won't get uneasy.
Mm-hmm. Wonder where Dr. Nelson could be.
Well, he must have overslept, I guess.
I thought doctors had to be punctual.
Old Williams will be punctual. See? What did I tell you?
Gentlemen, good morning.
Precisely according to schedule.
The subject for our post-mortem this morning is the cadaver of a man of middle age in an excellent state of preservation. Jennings, will you remove the sheet?
Yes, Professor Williams.
It will form a most satisfactory subject for our investigations. Jennings, I'd like the sheet removed from the entire body, not just the head.
Oh.
Jennings.
Oh, Professor Williams.
What are you staring at, man?
What's the matter with you? Professor Williams.
What is it, Jennings? What is it?
Margot, what's happening down there?
I can't quite see. Jennings has the sheet halfway down, but he's leaning over the table.
Jennings, what's happened to you?
Williams is pulling him away. Margot, look!
Oh.
On the table!
Oh, Lamont! It's...
Dr. Nelson! Nelson, my boy!
In a moment, we'll bring you Act Two of The Organ Played at Midnight. Meanwhile, here's an idea that has no mystery to it at all. Order a supply of blue coal, and you'll enjoy comfortable, even warmth throughout your home, no matter what fiendish tricks the cruel winter weather plays. Let the icy winds whistle and blow all they like. You'll be warm and snug and at your ease when you heat with blue coal. Yes, sir, at your ease is just right, because blue coal takes the effort right out of home heating. You see, blue coal is delivered to your home in exactly the right size for your heating plant. Then, on top of that, the new automatic blue coal heat regulator saves you all those damper adjusting tricks. Just naturally cuts them right out. Because, you see, it automatically opens and closes the dampers on your furnace and keeps every room constantly at an even temperature. You'll agree when you see how it works that every home should have one. Get in touch with your reliable neighborhood blue coal dealer right away. Tell him you want him to come out to the house and talk over your heating situation. You'll find him courteous, up to the minute, well informed. A world of improvement over the ordinary, old-fashioned type of dealer. Your blue coal dealer is a heating expert and a businessman. He's listed under the words blue coal in the yellow section of your classified phone directory. Call him tomorrow.
Yep, get blue coal now. It's clean. Clean energy.
And it always turns your tongue blue.
Ooh, with a sparkling drop of Redson.
How apropos for Earth Day. Blue coal.
That's right. Crunchy in milk. That's right.
That's where I got my blue tongue from. Licking that blue coal.
Do my Dick Van Dyke bad impersonation of a chimney sweep. Oh, Mary Poppins. I'm covered in blue coal, I am.
That's right.
Hey, there you go. Bert.
Sounds like a jolly holiday to me.
It's a jolly holiday with you, CW. Thank you for joining us on this fine evening as we celebrate stories about midnight. Or 0 o'clock.
Yeah, we're not going through that again. I'm already confused.
I'm still sewing.
You're sewing?
So what?
Yeah, I'm still sewing.
So?
The patch on my cape from my cape clasp to affix to. I'm still stabbing myself with pins and stuff.
It'll never fly.
It's not a fly. That's a whole other bit of sewing there.
Your question.
Since this lovely Margot Lane, the actress who's playing the lovely Margot Lane, is not Agnes Moorehead,
correct?
Did, Did Agnes Moorhead continue to do the shadow even after Orson Welles left the part?
She did for a time, yes. Yes. But this was, I was 38 it started. This was, what, 41. So, yeah, she was long gone at this point as well. But, yeah.
Her and Orson were sharing the same ambulance.
Is that even legal in New York?
That was how they got around, wasn't it? They hired an ambulance to take him from...
Well, that's how he got around, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he probably put a few staff in there if they had to go to the same different radio shows going back and forth.
Yeah. Yeah. How'd you get
Why
here?
Why not?
By hearse.
Clear traffic. Hey, I got to get to the studio.
Yeah.
Until Gar got in today.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. I came feet first. That's right.
What the blazes?
I have no idea. That wasn't me.
Your sound effects are leaking.
That's not me.
The sound effects are supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
And blue coal.
Oh, if it were only sound effects.
Yeah.
It was leaking.
Hello.
Yes. Is that a crack on my age? Anyway, let's move
no,
on.
No, it's a crack on my age.
I don't know.
It's a crack on my age.
It's time to change your adult diaper? What are we saying here? I don't know.
Oh, God.
I don't change them often. I seal them up with duct tape until I... Well. Anyway, let us wrap up. Ooh, oh, it just grossed myself out. The organ played at midnight. The Shadow knows.
And now, back to the Shadow.
Ready, Doug.
Oh, Cranston. Miss Lane, where are we?
It's all right, Professor. You're at home. You've been delirious.
Oh, yes, I remember now. I see it all. Oh, Cranston.
Yes, Doctor.
Can you... Is it possible for you to conceive the monster who could murder both McGill and Nelson in the space of a few days?
Margot, will you get that, please? There's an extension in the next room.
Yes, Lamont.
Well, Professor... Was it necessarily the work of the same man?
Lamont, with my last consciousness before I fainted, I realized that Dr. Nelson's body had the right forearm off the elbow, just as it was with poor McGill.
You're quite right, Professor. Obviously, the same hand held the knife.
We must stop that hand, Cranston. We must stop it.
Easy now, sir. You must try to relax.
What can we do, Lamont?
Well, tell me, Professor... Who exactly had access to the room where the cadavers are kept?
Who? Why, only myself. That is, except for old Jennings.
Professor Williams, old Jennings has disappeared.
Oh, no.
He's nowhere to be found.
Oh, now, he had nothing to do with it. Jennings has been with me for 20 years. Besides, I examined the body carefully in the morgue before I had him wheeled up to the amphitheater.
And it wasn't the body of Dr. Nelson?
Oh, no, I'm sure of that. Absolutely sure.
Then it means that the murderer substituted the body of Dr. Nelson somewhere between the morgue and the amphitheater.
Lamont, that phone call.
Oh, what was it, Margot?
I don't know.
You don't know?
No. It was a strange voice. A voice I'd never heard before. And it sounded muffled, far away. I said, hello, and whoever it was said that... Oh, it doesn't make sense.
Miss Lane, what did they say?
Well, they said, if the organ plays tonight at midnight... The lost will be found.
Nothing more than that?
No. They must have hung up or been cut off. That was all.
What could they mean? If the organ plays that...
Go on, Professor.
What was that?
That noise. I heard it, too.
There's something banging outside the window.
Oh, only a loose blind.
There are no blinds on those windows.
No?
Lamont, my boy, be careful.
Yeah, there it is again.
Hold, Lamont. Lamont!
Don't excite yourself, Professor Williams.
Margot, don't look out here.
What is it, Lamont?
Professor Williams.
Yes, Cranston.
It's...
Cranston, tell me, tell me.
A human forearm.
Human? Oh, no, no.
What earthly reason could there be for such a horror?
Now, wait a minute. There's a note tied to the index finger. Rather a garish way to post a letter, but I think it's the reason for this ghastly tableau.
A note?
What does it say?
Just a moment. It says the gates of death will open for you in an hour.
The gates of death?
Well, that's what's written here.
It's meant for me.
Oh, what was that?
It's Anna. She's downstairs in her room. Something's happened.
Easy now, Professor. I'll tend to it.
All right, Anna. I'm coming. Anna! This is Mr. Cranston. Let me in.
I saw him.
You saw who, Anna? Who did you see?
Him. But done the murder.
Who?
Gibson. I just raised my window and I looked out and there he was coming across the lawn.
There's no one out here now.
Oh, he must have run when I screamed. Do you know what, Mr. Cranston? I thought I saw him the day after poor Dr. McGill was murdered.
Where?
Standing there just as plain as day, and I said to myself, I'll bet he's up to no good.
Anna, this is very important. Now tell me, where did you see him?
In front of the gates of death.
What did you say?
I said I saw him in front of the gates of death. He was standing...
The gates of death?
Oh, that's new since you've been here, isn't it? Well, that's what some of the students started calling that big pair of iron gates at the back of the morgue. The ones they bring the corpses through. You see, I was on my way to do
I'm sorry,
shopping.
Anna. I'll talk to you later. Margot!
Yes, Lamont. What is it?
The light is breaking, Margot. Come on, my girl. We've got work to do. What time was the note delivered, Margot?
It was just 10:30, Lamont.
11:25. I think we're just on time.
On time for what?
To see the gates of death open.
Lamont, are you out of your head?
Here, duck down behind the wall here. You see those huge gates at the rear of the morgue building?
Yes.
The students call them the gates of death.
The gates of... Why, then that's what the note meant. It said they would open it...
Look, they are opening now, Margot.
There's someone standing there. Why, it's...
Old Jennings. That's where he's been hiding.
Listen. He's signaling somebody.
Now someone should turn up.
I hear somebody walking.
There he is. Coming down the path. He's going to the gates.
Who is it?
I can't quite see, Margot. But this I do know. Jennings and his friend are going to receive a visit. From the shadow.
You follow me, and we'll go inside together. I sent you the note. I had to. They think I done it. I know they does.
Why shouldn't they think you did it, Jennings?
Hey, what's that? Why, you're not...
I'm Dr. Gibson, Jennings.
Oh, I thought you...
I've come to look at Dr. Nelson's body.
Oh, no, you ain't allowed
I
to.
Warn you, Jennings, there's enough on my head. Now, don't interfere with me.
All right, don't hurt me. I won't do nothing.
Where's the body?
Right in through the door there.
Then come along.
Oh, you go first.
All right, I'll go first, but I warn you, if you try anything... Oh!
You want me to tell... You want to know all about what happened. But I ain't going to tell. Not ever. What's that?
Jennings, what have you to hide?
Oh, who's that? Who's there? I don't see nobody.
I am the shadow, Jennings. I've cast a hypnotic spell over your brain so that you cannot see me. But I'm here, Jennings. Tell me, what have you to hide?
Oh, I can't tell you. They put me in prison if anybody found out. He told me they would.
Who, Jennings?
Professor Williams.
Williams? Jennings, tell me what happened. Tell me.
Oh, I didn't mean no harm. You see, I put an explosive in one of his test tubes by mistake.
Explosive?
Yes. And the next thing I knew, there was a loud noise, and he screamed, and there he stood with his arm hanging loose. That was 20 years ago. And he'd have been a great doctor all this time if I hadn't done what I did.
Why did you send that note tonight, Jennings?
Because he promised to help me if I did as he always said, and I always have, I have. Oh, now what am I going to do? He hurts him every time he looks at the students, and sometimes he used to whisper to me, they all have two arms.
Tell me this one thing more. Which arm was it, Jennings?
His right arm. His right forearm. It looks all right. But it's dead from the wrist to the elbow.
Jennings, take care of Gibson until he regains consciousness. Then let him go. And remember, the shadow is watching you.
That's the answer to the note. Old Jennings.
But, Lamont, there's still...
What?
That phone call. If the organ plays at midnight, the lost will be found. Remember?
Of course I do. That's why I've walked you over to the chapel.
The chapel?
Unless I'm mistaken, the organ they meant is the big pipe organ in the loft of the chapel here. And if it plays at
midnight.
Hurry, Margot. We don't want to be late for the concert.
I'm coming.
Look. The chapel door. It's open.
There's someone here.
See? A light. It's coming from the organ loft. Margot, I think we've come to the end of the trail. There it is.
The funeral march we heard at the church yesterday.
The one old Williams said depressed him so. I'm going up there, Margot. The killer hasn't quite finished his work, I'm afraid.
The organ. It stopped.
I think trouble's coming.
Lamont, I think it's arrived.
It has, Margot. You wait here. There's work to be done up there in that loft, and only the shadow can do it.
Let me go. I know you killed Nelson and McGill. You stole my knife out of my office to pin your crimes on me. But you won't get away with it.
Won't I, Gibson? Who's going to stop me?
I will. I telephoned you about the organ because I knew you'd fall in the trap. I knew you'd come to kill me, too, to get rid of the last of us to feed your insane lust.
Right again, Gibson. I'm going to kill you. Why should you little men live while I, the genius of my time, rot here, crippled and deformed? I've had only my left arm these 20 years, but it's strong now, and I've used it well. It's too strong for you to stop the knife, Gibson.
Oh, I can't. I can't stop it. Please. Please don't.
Gibson, the point is on your throat.
No. Drop that knife, Professor Williams.
Who's there? Who's there, I say?
I am the Shadow. I am invisible to you, but I have come to put an end to your killings, Williams.
Oh, no. No, you haven't. Not until I've finished with Gibson. Not yet. Help! Help!
I want you, Williams.
My arm. Something's holding it. Let go! Let go!
Drop that knife. And now, Williams, we'll see what a court of justice has to say about your crimes.
Court of justice? No court would convict me. I've had a right to do what I've done. I lost my arm, didn't I? An eye for an eye, an arm for an arm. You see? That's just a shadow, and no court would find me guilty.
Dana Williams, this jury has found you guilty of murder in the first degree. And I, by virtue of the authority vested in me, sentence you to be hanged by the neck until you are dead. And may the Lord have mercy on your soul.
A knife. What an instrument a knife is. The treacherous implement that turns to a weapon in the hands of murder. When it's a thing of good and when it's a thing of evil, none can say. But this we know. A knife is sharp. Its point goes deep. And a knife is always thirsty.
In a moment, we'll bring you this week's real-life episode proving that crime does not pay. First, I'm sure you'll be interested in hearing from Blue Coal's distinguished home heating expert, John Barclay. Mr. Barclay.
Thank you. Friends, I've been receiving quite a few letters lately that indicate some of you are making the operation of your furnace a much harder job than it should be. Harder, did I say? Well, I should say hard, because really it's easy to operate a furnace properly if you know how. Yes, of course, that's the catch to it. In these days especially, with the weather so changeable, it's necessary to know how to regulate dampers and bank a fire the right way. Now, here's an answer to your heating problem. Call your neighborhood Blue Coal dealer and ask him to send a John Barclay serviceman to your house to show you all the ins and outs of managing a furnace. No obligation. In fact, you might tell him that you heard me personally extending the invitation. This is his program, you know, your Blue Coal dealer, so it's really the same as getting an invitation directly from him. Tell him you heard the program. Make a note now to call him tomorrow. He's listed under the words blue coal in the yellow section of your classified phone directory. Find out firsthand how much easier and more economical it is to heat your home the blue coal way. Thank you.
Today's program is based on a story copyrighted by the DL&W Coal Company, producers of Blue Coal. The characters, names, places, and plot are fictitious. Any similarity to persons living or dead is purely coincidental.
Sure.
Direct from real life, we now bring you conclusive proof that crime does not pay.
At
2 a.m. in a hotel room hideout, police waited one day last week for Joseph Miller, wanted for two murders. At last came the long-awaited knock on the door.
Oh,
it's Joseph Miller. Remember, boys, he's dangerous. If he pulls a gun, shoot fast and straight. I'm going to open the door.
Halt! Halt!
He's on the fire escape.
Got
me. Headquarters.
Sure, I'll
hide. Quick. What's behind this window? Oh, big dining room. It's black. They'll never find me here.
Your crimes have caught up with you, Joseph Miller. 100 police are closing in on you right this instant.
No. I ain't going to let them get me. I can't stand it. I'll kill myself.
I'll kill myself, see?
In the wide, haunting blackness of an empty banquet hall, Joseph Miller, criminal, died by his own hand. The weed of crime bears bitter fruit. Crime does not pay. The shadow.
Next week, same time, same station, your friendly blue coal dealer brings you another strange and thrilling adventure in the Shadow's daring battle against the forces of evil. Be sure to listen. And be sure to phone your neighborhood blue coal dealer for greater heating comfort at less cost. Remember, keep the home fires burning with blue coal.
Burning and burning.
Keep the home fires burning. Set yourself on fire.
On fire. All right. Yay.
Fire.
Ah, breathe in that good soot smell.
Oh, man.
The sounds of
lungs
clogging.
I have a coal bin story, but I'll save it for later.
I thought it was interesting that the judge entered said he would hang
by the neck.
I kind of looked it up. The last person to be hanged in the U.S. was Bill Bailey in 1996. So I guess Bill Bailey won't be going home after all.
No. Yeah, I would have thought that was the electric chair. That was quite the fad.
Yeah, and until lethal injections came, it seems like hanging is like a second choice to lethal injections, but so many states are having trouble, like Ohio, to getting the lethal injection drugs that they just keep holding off the executions.
And there's Utah, where you do have the option of either lethal injection or firing squad.
Firing squad, yes. I was going to say that. Yeah.
I would prefer old age. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Well, I'd be the first one to raise my hand. Firing squad, please. Thank you.
Yes, if they put that blindfold on and give you that last cigarette, any last request, yes. I'm going to die of extraordinarily old age.
Blindfold. Who needs a stinking blindfold? I want to see the bullets coming.
You got slow motion eyes? You got slow motion eyes, Gar?
Uh-huh. Yeah. You know, there could be a moral to this story.
There could be.
Well, I wasn't ready, didn't you, huh? All right, here you are. Well, I know your reasons. Gar's moral of the story.
A shaky hand can lead to a shaky mind. Okay.
Hey, you go.
I don't understand why the guy didn't just go to a secondhand store. That's what I want to know.
Ah, there you go.
Oh. Yeah. Come now.
And I thought I was the only one.
We got a whole lot of radio.
That was rough,
Dave. We got a whole lot of radio.
Actually, we
do. We got enough radio.
We got plenty, and we better get to it. Our third story is from Macabre.
Macabre, macaroon.
Macaroni?
Macabre. That's I don't know. I don't know.
Oh, macabre.
Mac wearing a bra. I don't know.
Macabre. Yeah, Midnight Horseman.
Yeah, December 11th, 1961.
You bet.
Go. Okay, it sounds kind of macabre.
Yeah, great music.
Macabre.
Loves it.
Man lives
macabre.
In a world of time and space. He lives in a spectrum of the universe. When he ventures beyond this limit, he is in the unknown, a realm where strange forces are brought into play. When man attempts to misuse these forces, he is sometimes destroyed. This is Macabre. The Far East Network presents, in special performance, Macabre. Tonight's story, The Midnight Horseman.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, if you will step down this corridor, I will show you some of the newer paintings which have just arrived.
Really, Roderick, that's all I've heard about since I married you. The house looks like an art gallery now.
Come on, Belle. Let's see what the man has. Jason, you and Ella with us?
Yes, Rod. Thanks to you, I know every art dealer in town personally.
Don't be so hard on the boy, Ella. Why, he shops for paintings as you would for hats. Who knows? Someday he might find a lost Rembrandt.
Ha!
Ah. Ladies and gentlemen, here is the find of the century. The artist is an unknown Oliver Turnquist. It is called The Lake.
What is the price?
Its value has not yet been determined. It was part of an estate sale we purchased recently in Europe. I should say in the neighborhood of $10,000. Notice the clean strokes of the brush. The kind of...
Roderick, in the corner, do you see that?
No.
Where? The picture of a knight on horseback.
What are you doing, whispering about?
Yes, I see it. May we see the painting of the horseman?
The horseman?
Yes, the old canvas in the corner.
The one with the knight.
That's one. That really is not for sale. It shouldn't even be out here.
Then why is it on display?
It was part of the estate sale I mentioned. A very sketchy background. A painter unknown. I intended to repack it.
Oh, Jason, he's trying to be mysterious to up the price.
Does it have a title?
Yes, the Midnight Horseman. Dates from the 13th century.
What an ideal wedding present for you and Jason, Ella. Ghastly. Besides, he hasn't asked me.
Tis said that all Irishmen marry late in life. I'll get around to it, my dear, in time.
May I have a closer look?
I would prefer not to show this...
Mr. Book. Brum, we just want to look.
Very well. But I cannot be responsible. You bring this on yourself.
Don't let him stick you now, Roderick. That's an old gag.
Here it is, ladies and gentlemen. A portrait, one that should never have been painted. An old canvas, 700-some-odd years. I ask you to examine it quickly and then allow me to put it away.
Oh, Roderick, it's terrifying. You're not going to buy that. I won't have it in the house.
I'm just looking at it, Belle.
Magnificent. A black hooded knight with a silver lance, seated on a white horse by it.
It is supposed to have been posed by a knight about 1250 A.D., He was betrothed to the Princess Belinda when she was abducted and slain by a ruthless baron. Years afterward, he would search the inns by night in quest of the slayer. The legend grew. It was said centuries later that the flying hoofs of the Midnight Horseman could be heard searching the countryside for his beloved Belinda and the cruel Baron.
An interesting story, but I don't see why you should be so upset by it.
You see, sir, the portrait's been in my possession about 10 days, and it's hard to explain, but it seems to be more than just a portrait. I am afraid of it.
Fine showmanship, that lad, Mr. Collins. He's just raised the price by at least 10,000.
Why, it's just awful, sitting there with that black hood. He looks like a hangman. Roderick, I won't have it in the house, and that's final.
Ah, good. I'll rebuild it first.
Mr. Blum, what do you think, Jason?
For some reason, I think the man is actually frightened by his superstitious ignorance. The painting is a masterpiece, nothing else. Buy it if you can.
I'll give you 10,000.
Please, Mr. Linfield, you are a man of wealth, and I am but a poor dealer in the arts. Do not tempt me with
it. I've got to have that portrait. 12,000.
Don't do it, Roderick, for my sake.
15, my final bid. What do you say, Mr. Blum?
A hard bargain. Very well, if you must.
Good boy, Roderick, good boy.
I do so with reluctance. They say that man makes his own hell. I hope you haven't just made your own.
Supper fit for a king, Belle. I'm going to hire that cook right out from under your pretty nose one of these days.
I'm glad you and Ella could stay, Jason.
Brinkley?
Yes, sir.
We'll take our drinks in the library.
Very well, sir.
You girls join us?
Oh, no, not with that picture in there, we won't.
Go ahead. We have plenty of girl talk to catch up on anyway, don't we, Belle?
Come on, Roderick. It seems we're not very popular with the fair sex at the moment.
Right, we'll see you later.
Ah, wonderful, girls, wonderful. I may just marry Ella one of these days.
Now, don't get carried away.
What happened to the heat? Do you feel a chill?
Since you mentioned it, yes. I'll have Brinkley check it out when he brings our drinks. Now, let's examine the prize.
Where did you put it?
It's already hung over the fireplace.
A magnificent find. Oh, you stole it at the price.
There he sits, a hooded knight in black armor, poised, waiting.
I see what the art dealer meant. Look, Roderick, at the lance he carries. I can almost understand Blum's feeling that he's more than a portrait.
Yes. At any moment, you expect him to hurl the lance. There's something about it, Jason. Take the hood. Can't see his face, but his eyes seem to burn right through.
Yes. That proves my suspicions. Roderick, I think I know what's wrong with this portrait.
Shall I serve the drinks, sir?
Yes, Brinkley, bring them in. Brinkley, is there anything wrong with the heating system here in the library?
Why, no, sir.
Then why is this room so cold?
Strange, sir. It became this way shortly after you returned from the city today.
I see. Thank you, Brinkley. That'll be all.
Yes, sir.
What do you make of that?
My boy, I'm going to spend the night by the portrait. I'll need my notes, Perinella's car, and your books on the occult.
Jason, you about ready to leave? You're taking up these people's whole day.
Ella, I'm not going with you tonight.
What?
Ella, dear, drive home like a good girl now. I'll see you tomorrow.
You're spending the night here?
I have a few notes to make.
Jason Van Horn, you're heading for trouble. I'm psychic, you know. There's something wrong with that portrait. I'm warning you to leave it alone.
Ella, will you go home?
Ella, will you go home? Who do you think you are anyway? Well, let me tell you, it's just as well I didn't marry you.
Take my notes out of the car before you leave. She's a spirited little devil, isn't she?
I think you should go with her and forget the whole thing.
Roderick, my boy, leave old Jason alone now. I promise you that by morning we'll have some news. We'll know exactly why they're all afraid of the Midnight Horseman.
Talk to Belle.
Please, may I?
Yes, Mr. Mullet. For you, Belle.
Thank you.
Ella, are you all right? What's wrong?
Is Jason still there?
I guess so. We left him down in the library after you left. Why?
Ye gods, what's eating her?
Shh. Ella, is there anything wrong?
It's hard to explain. I get those feelings. I don't understand them myself, Belle. Jason's in trouble. Please ask Roger to look in on him.
Why, of course, dear. Now, don't you worry about a thing. I'm sure he's fine. But we'll check just to make certain.
Oh, thanks.
Go back to sleep, dear. I'll call you tomorrow.
Sure, thanks again. Good night.
Good night.
Now, what the devil was that all about?
Ella's worried about Jason. Maybe you'd better go down and see if he is all right.
What could happen in the library? He's probably asleep.
Rod, would you mind looking? I told her you would.
I think it's high time she married Jason. Getting more like an old maid every day.
Oh, Rod.
All right. I'll go down to humor both of you. Guess I have to agree. That picture is causing too much trouble. Maybe it had better go. Still closed. Not a sound from in there. Must be asleep. I'll knock quietly on the door.
Mr. Van Horn asks not to be disturbed, sir.
Brinkley, what are you doing up?
I have an upset stomach, sir. I went to the kitchen for a remedy.
Did you check on Mr. Van Horn?
No, sir. As I said, he asked not to be disturbed.
When did you retire?
About 11, sir.
To your knowledge, is he still in there?
Yes, sir. I have heard nothing since you left him last evening.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'd better have a look. Jason? 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 Are you in there?
Perhaps we should go in, sir.
Yes, Brinkley, perhaps we should.
Strange. There seems to be no heat in the library.
No light either. Don't turn it on yet. Although it shouldn't be off if he's working. Look around. Can you see him?
No, sir.
Something peculiar here. Jason.
The portrait. It's no longer over the fireplace.
Brinkley, by the hearth. Shadow.
Yes, I see it. It's sitting on the floor.
Does that look like Jason to you?
No, sir.
Quick, the light. We may be too late.
What? It's Mr. Van Horn. Sitting on the floor in front of the portrait. His eyes are open, sir. But he doesn't move. Is he dead, sir?
We'll see. Pulse is all right. No. Some kind of trance. Jason, snap out of it. Wake up.
Perhaps if we turn the portrait around, he seems to be staring at it.
Go ahead. Try it.
There, sir.
Yes. He's stirring.
What's the matter here?
Get us some brandy, Brinkley.
Yes, sir.
And remember, not a word of this to Mrs. Winfield.
I quite understand, sir.
Roderick, I thought I told
what
you...
What time do you think it is?
Oh, why, just a little after midnight. Now, what was that?
It's nearly 4:30, Jason.
I see. Thanks, Roderick.
You were staring at the portrait.
Apparently, among its accomplishments is a strong hypnotic power.
What did you find out?
No wonder Blum didn't want to sell. He also knew the truth.
Meaning?
My boy, this was painted by a medieval alchemist, or a man with occult powers. An entire ritual is depicted in symbolism. I've copied it down on paper, see?
What does it add up to?
Just this. Give me a day to correct these figures. Tonight we'll perform an experiment that has waited through 7 centuries for fulfillment.
What are you talking about?
Roderick, lad, if I can duplicate this ritual faithfully, tonight, right here in the library, we may stand face to face with the real Midnight Horseman.
Wait! Cue dramatic music. We're going to see here, the real Headless Horseman.
How can you hear him if he doesn't have a head?
Yeah.
Ventriloquism, of course. God, do I have to explain everything?
Yes. Wow.
Oh, he's going to answer. Never ask
a wise
guy.
Well, you had to have something to stare at. They had to have something to stare at mindlessly without any rhyme or reason before TV or the internet.
Before TV. Good one.
50 points for CW.
Bazinga.
Bazinga. Oh, my gosh. There you go. Anyway, we got time a-wasting, and we want to chit-chat a little bit at the end, so let us continue with the completion of our story. From Macabre.
Macabre. Midnight.
All right, fine. Midnight Horseman.
What's the time? Nearly midnight. Everything is set. Quartered in a square, facing north. We've drawn a circle around us. Each holds a fresh tree branch. Exactly at midnight, we recite the words. This is a rare moment, Rod.
There's something unnatural about this, Jason. As if we were trying to play God.
The ritual wouldn't exist if it weren't meant to be used.
All I did was buy a portrait. Now look how it turned out.
If we're able to do this tonight, we'll go down in history as the first men to span seven centuries.
You don't want to forget what that man is looking for.
Shh. Midnight. Here we go. Ready?
I don't like it at all.
Good. That'll add tension. That's good. Hear the words, lad. Let's say them slowly and clearly.
Absalom.
Vada.
Getha.
Lum.
An.
Jektai.
Solm.
Hear anything?
No. Just the clock.
What went wrong? Let's see. Quick, drop your branch over the picture. I would forget that. Now the timing's off. Sit very still. It may work yet.
Jason, you believe in too many old wives' tales.
Shh! Don't scoff at things you don't understand. It should begin with the sound of a cold wind. Then we'll hear the hoofbeats of a horse approaching. Just be patient, Roderick.
It didn't work.
I can't understand what went wrong. I was so careful.
Well, that's that for tonight.
Wait. Do you hear it?
The wind.
He's coming. We've won.
No.
In a moment, he'll stand here as big as life.
No, stop it, Jason.
We did it, lad! We did it! You pulled the picture out of the square when we were so close. Why?
I couldn't go through with it. It's unholy, Jason. We shouldn't be doing this.
Lad, I'm disappointed in you. Now we'll have to pick another night and start all over again.
I'm sorry, Jason. You can try again tomorrow if you like.
Busy then. Have to wait till the day after.
Okay, the day after.
All right, at least we are certain now. It's just a question of time until we meet the man in person. In this very room.
Brinkley, there's no reason for you to remain up.
Yes, sir. It's quite cool in the library. Shall I bring you a coat?
No, thank you.
Mr. Van Horn did not come tonight.
That's right. It's nearly midnight, Brinkley. I don't want to be disturbed further.
Yes, sir. I quite understand, sir. Ring if you need me, sir.
Yes, sir.
Good night.
Good night. I wonder if I should try it by myself. Jason would be pretty disappointed if it worked and he weren't here, though. Cold in this room. Jason thinks it's caused by some field of force around the picture. The portrait. There it hangs above the fireplace. A hooded knight. Like a hangman out of some distant nightmare. Bell's right. It is terrifying. Wait. I can't look away. I'm being hypnotized. Look. No. No. I did it. Jason was right. Don't stare at the horseman. Lord, it's uncanny. What's the time? A minute to 12. Should I try? Why not? Have to hurry, though. Take the picture down. Sit on the floor. Where's that tree branch? Oh, it's under the couch. There. Now, draw a square with it around the portrait. Okay. And circle around that. Picture faces north. Now, what did I forget? Something else. Oh, yes. Draw a big circle around the picture and me. Okay. She just made it. The words. What are the words? Floss. Oh, no. I was so close. Put them down. There must be somewhere. But where? It'll be too late in a moment. It must be recited at midnight. Ah, pocket. That's it. Here they are. Quick. Read the words. Absam, Badha, Betha, Lum, An, Jektai, Som. Next. Throw the branch on the portrait. There. The wind. I don't hear it. What did I do wrong? I didn't leave out a thing. Supposed to work. Might as well gather this stuff up and put it back, I guess. Wait. Wind. I did it. Hey. The room seems wavy. Eyes playing tricks on me. Horse. It sounded like a horse. Slipping hooves. He's coming. Midnight horseman. He's heading right for this room. Oh, the room is so wavy. Field of force in the portrait. Shall I stop him while I can? How do I know he won't kill? I can pull the picture out of the square and stop him. What should I do? Belle!
Ross! Oh, Ross, darling. Are you all right? Are you all right?
Belle, you spoiled the whole thing.
I was looking outside and I heard everything. Please, darling, stop this while you can. I'm so afraid.
I thought you were asleep. You weren't supposed to know anything about it.
Oh, what you're doing is evil.
But I haven't done a thing yet.
You can and would if I hadn't stopped you.
Belle, I'm confused. I haven't seen a thing. All that's happened is the sound.
Oh, we're lucky that's all that happened.
I'm sorry, darling. Here, dry the tears.
Promise me, Rod. Promise me you won't try it again.
I can't.
Oh, you'll be sorry.
Make a deal with you. First, I want to see a smile, though.
No.
Yes, come on. A big one.
Oh, Rod. Hold me close.
That's better. Poor little girl. You were frightened. Make a deal with you.
Okay. What is it?
Tomorrow is Friday. Jason's coming over tomorrow night. We'll try once more. And this time, if it doesn't work, we'll quit.
What if it does?
Are you game?
Oh, Rod.
I've got to find out. How about it?
I'm against it. But if you must, well, I want to be here with you.
Check. Just one more time, then. I've got to find out if the Midnight Horseman can be brought into being.
Hello?
Hello, is this Eric Blum?
That's right.
I'm Miss Ella Case. It's about the portrait you sold Roderick Winfield.
It's quite late, miss.
They've read some kind of symbolism in it.
Say what? That's the reason I didn't want to sell it. Are you certain?
Some ritual I believe they perform at midnight.
Where?
At the Winfields. For all I know, they may try again tonight.
Good Lord, it's 11:30. What is your address, Miss Case?
246 Maple Drive.
Not a moment to lose. Pick you up in 10 minutes. If they bring that man back, I wouldn't give a nickel for their lives.
This is it, Bellenrod. Nearly 12. This time we go all the way.
I'll let the servants off tonight so it won't be disturbed.
Good. Are you ready, Belle?
Yes. Get it over, Jason. And remember, this is the last time.
I promised it would be.
Take your places. When the clock strikes, throw your branches on the picture and recite the words. Come what may, we won't try to stop it.
Oh, Rod.
Take it easy, Belle. Everything's going to be all right.
The branches. Quick! The words now. We'll read them together.
Absom, Bada, Yeta, Lum, An, Jektai, Som.
Shh. It should begin now.
Listen. I wonder if it'll work again.
It takes time.
Listen. There it is. The horse. It's working. It's working.
Rod, you can still stop him.
I've missed the chance of a lifetime. Look, the room. It's getting weighted.
Be quiet. In a moment, a man centuries old will stand before us. Living, breathing.
I'm hating.
Belle, you promised.
Stop him. It's our last chance. He'll kill us. You've got to stop him.
Too late, Belle. That heart is about to crash through those windows.
I'll pull the picture out myself.
No!
He's taking Belle.
No! Thou knowest me well, Baron, without the hood.
He raised the hood.
No! Not you!
They're the police! They are!
Not the lads!
Yes, he's been here. Look, the portrait. There's a change. The lance, it's missing. Good Lord. Buried in Radovic's heart.
No, no. There's only a bloody hole. But where are Jason and Belle?
The answer is in the portrait.
Let me see. There's a girl riding behind the horseman. Oh, Belle. It's Belle.
Yes. And the hood is now missing from the horseman. You can see his face.
It's Jason. Jason!
You have just heard Macabre, a special Far East Network presentation. Tonight's story was The Midnight Horseman. In our cast were John Buey as Jason, Frankie Oka as Belle, William Verdier as Roderick, Sandra Morey as Ella, Walt Sheldon as Eric Blum, and Milton Radmilovich as Brinkley. Technical supervision was by Airman First Class Larry Dooley, with sound patterns by Airman First Class James Conley. This is Air Force Sergeant Al LePage speaking. Macabre was written and directed by William Verdier.
Dave Binkley were portrayed by Dave Binkley.
Macabre comes to you each week at this time through the worldwide facilities of the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.
Courtesy of Dave Binkley Enterprises.
Furnished by Dave Binkley. I could bottle those clothes, that guy.
Finally, our government uses the money for something useful.
And contrary
signed
to
up to fight to fly a plane, ended up on radio. That makes sense.
I wonder if it was all branches of the service that had something to do with these productions.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, what was that last part, CW?
I was wondering if the production had anything to do with the other branches of the service besides the Army.
The Air Force guy did the sound effects. So.
Army, Air Force.
Yeah, this was the Armed Forces, one of the few actual drama productions created by the Armed Forces Radio and Television Network.
Ooh.
Something they actually produce instead of stealing everybody else's. But thank God they did, because that's how we have so many of our programs of old radio here today. I just got news. Who was the horse for the Headless Horseman, everybody?
Mr. Ed.
Hello. I'm Mr. Ed.
I'm Mr. Ed.
Do you know, and I did this. I did this in the bar once, but if you play that backwards, it says the source is the devil. The source is the devil. It does. When you play the theme of Mr. Ed backwards.
Oh my gosh.
I tested it, and you can actually make it sound like that. It's hilarious.
Illuminati at work again.
Yes. We're working overtime. And Illuminati are us.
We still have time to squeeze in a moral, I believe.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah, there's that moral mm-hmm. thing that we do here.
Uh-huh.
I've heard it's become something of an institution.
Uh-huh.
Or it belongs there, one or the other. Yeah.
Erie House Radio proudly presents Cars, Moral of the Story.
Even on horseback, hitchhike at your own risk.
Now that wasn't so bad, was it?
It was disgusting.
So much fun. We should do it again tomorrow, maybe. Oh, I don't know.
We should.
30.
Uh-huh. Well, why not?
And if we were to do so, I would recommend maybe a Barry Craig and a Johnny Dollar as we continue.
Uh-huh.
With our celebration stories about midnight.
Wow.
Yeah. The witching hour.
William Gargan.
Gargans. Those were the lobster monsters from Teenage Years from Outer Space. The Gargans.
No relation. No relation to the Gar and the Gargoyles and the Gargans and all this.
Yes.
Teenage Lobsters from Outer Space featuring garlic butter.
Yes.
That new sensation, garlic butter.
Yes.
Gar and garlic, no relation.
Wiped out when they accidentally landed in a pot
Hopefully
of boiling water.
Hopefully they smell differently. But I digress.
No, I was just thinking.
So,
just thinking about that.
What should we do after our show tomorrow, Dale?
Oh, so I don't know. Something at 8:00. What do you think?
If my internet service provider continues to work, there will be a horrible horror star in Gar the Ghoul, even if it's a rerun.
There you go. By hook, crook, or schnook, you got Erie House at 6:30, Gar the Ghoul. At 8:00, there is your Saturday night right there.
Ta-da!
I think that the rerun is The Bionic Woman and in a haunted house, and then a movie in 1960 called The Werewolf or something like that.
Ooh.
1956, maybe.
Maybe. Is it the one where it's like an atomic werewolf, sort of, kind of?
No, it's one where a guy rolls into town. It's a very small town, and he's got the werewolf thing.
How small was it?
Yeah, I think they somehow got atomic radiation. It's a 50s movie. We got to have atomic radiation or something, or giant bug-eyed monsters. Hmm. It's It's all good. Now we're too late for Vince. My fault.
The castle lights are growing dim.
See you tomorrow.
There's no one left but me
and him.
And him, and
her.
Then next we meet in Frankenstone.
Don't come alone.
Don't come alone.
Oh, actually, that was timed perfectly.
Ooh,
quite by accident.
Perfect. Not... Yeah.
Well done. Well done. Nicely done. Is Gar still there?
I am still here.
All here.
I have a question for you. Does your library lend out Wi-Fi hotspots?
Like the public library? The public library here has been closed since pandemic. I don't know what's going on.
They're still closed?
Last time I checked. Yes, Florida. Yeah.
I thought everything in Florida opened up regardless of whether whatever. I thought that Florida considered COVID a myth, but.
Oh, no. Well, yes, it's a myth, but also we just banned all books in Florida from our governor.
Oh, there you are. Okay.
Yeah, there's no reading allowed anymore.
At least on math books, yeah.
No reading, no Wi-Fi. We're supposed to, play with sticks and, hide in the woods.
Sure.
The reason I was asking if you do have a library, because sometimes you can lend out a Wi-Fi hotspot for free.
Yeah,
I've done that.
We have that here, yeah. Yeah, we have
and
that here.
And if you can use that, they'll let you keep it, depends, sometimes a week, sometimes almost a month, depending upon the library. But if your internet provider goes crackers again, those hotspots do pump out a great signal where you could broadcast your show.
That makes sense. Unfortunately, the only hotspot I got going on here is the kitchen. But I would have to investigate into how to use Wi-Fi. I don't use Wi-Fi. All of my equipment is hardwired. I'm old school, and so I'd have to figure that one out.
I'd be shocked. Even I have an older computer that even takes up dial-up, but it also has Wi-Fi built into it as well. I purchased it used. I mean, why get new when you can get something used? Yeah, it can take dial-up, hardwire, as well as Wi-Fi and cable. So it has the three options, and it also has Bluetooth in it as well. So it's the last of the generation that you could use everything.
Yeah.
Wow.
I think
the only thing
all
it doesn't have
is
the hard
XP.
Drive.
Yeah.
Sorry?
The oldest one I've got is an XP, 32-bit.
An XP.
I don't know if it does Wi-Fi.
I bet it does.
Why are they speaking in foreign
languages? I'm scared of it. Yeah.
Don't be scared of it. You just got to dive in and just dive in and dive in.
Scary and dark. And it's encrypted. Ooh, encrypted. Get it? Yeah, crypt. Yeah, okay.
Encrypted, yeah. But anyway, I was just throwing that out there just in case your internet provider charges you an exorbitant amount of cash who's constantly letting you down.
Yeah, he's got professional equipment, and he's got actually a business account. And the problem, I think, is up in the pole where he's connected to some very old wires that are not working properly for him.
Wrap some aluminum foil around it.
I'm not getting on a pole.
you can borrow my hat.
Well, you'd be surprised. I mean, when Wi-Fi first came out, before people really started locking their Wi-Fi, happily there are lots of restaurants and shops that don't. And I've said this before, and I say it again: why pay for it when it's broadcasting free? Radio. But I digress. The fact of the matter is, the first antennas people made. They made them out of pop cans, beer cans, coffee cans. You needed the metal. And they would put
just, you know, drill holes in them. This is kind of out of my realm of expertise because you have to have those coaxial cables and everything. I'm sorry, Dale, I'm speaking that weird language again. Computers. But anyway, people have been trying to get free Wi-Fi ever since it started. And, of course, people found ways to get free dial-up, too.
Hmm.
I'd have to modify my sign-on by saying, Horrible Horrors brought to you this week by McDonald's and Burger King.
There you go.
Yeah, all you got to do is move next to McDonald's. That's it.
Pretty
or
much.
I don't know. That would be a good thing. I don't know.
Sit outside in your car in the winter.
Great for Wi-Fi, bad for rats, you know.
I know a lot of college students that do it.
Yeah. I know a lot of college students that use wire spools as a dining room table, so yeah.
Why not? It's so retro. It's Trey, Trey Chic. What's the kind of chic? Oh, yes, we're using Engineer Chic. There it is.
Yeah, and why are all these college students so unemployed? What's going on with that? I thought they were smart.
Sorry. I just found that funny.
Probably because they get a job, think it's going to be great. They don't get what they were promised for payment, so they let themselves get fired, go on unemployment until they can find something better. So that's why they're going back and forth with it. And in short, people are a little fed up nowadays.
Yeah, a little bit.
Back in my military days, there was this saying that we would hear and all laugh, and it's called, "My recruiter told me." And what it was when you signed up in order to get you to sign up, they go, "Well, we'll get you a penthouse, and you'll have a new car, and you'll have this in it." And then you get there, and you get nothing, and they go, but my recruiter told me.
It's like, yeah.
And so all the folks that, like, went out there, like, I'm – it shows. I'm college educated, got degrees, and look where I'm at.
Yeah.
Didn't the Navy teach you how to sew so you wouldn't damage your fingers like you're doing with repairing your cape?
I know. That falls into the area of I've forgotten as much as I've learned. That's what you did.
Aww.
Plus, it's hard to sew on a ship that keeps going back and forth without, you know, getting pushed off.
Man, we had rough seas once so bad you could walk on the walls, on the sidewalls, because we were listing so much. It was crazy. Yeah, fun. It was like being in zero gravity or something. I don't know. It was weird.
Not always good on the stomach.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. And the cook is making for us today garlic soup with garlic bread with garlic dressing for the salad. And everyone is quickly going over the side.
The gar menu. Yeah, I'm there. Garlic.
That'll keep those vampires away.
That'll keep everybody away.
One of the weirdest things is in all the time I was on that ship, never once was I ill. Never. Like, not seasick ill. And I was a scuba diver when I joined up. I figured, I'm a scuba diver. They'll look into that and use that. And I ended up on a typewriter. I'm like, okay, well, so much for that.
Oh, wow. Do you remember
Sounds
what
like Army Intelligence
for?
To me, yeah.
Don,
yes.
Do you remember
Contradiction
what
scuba
stands for?
Do I remember what? Never again volunteer yourself? What?
That too, but do you remember what scuba stands for?
Oh, self-contained underwater breathing apparatus.
Yep.
Bazinga!
Yeah, I'm certified. Certifiable?
Yes.
They haven't put me away yet, but they're working on it.
Yeah, no arguments here.
I won't give away your whereabouts.
My job
my
is safe now. Yes.
You won't give away your whereabouts.
Now, we never tell anybody that you're in Gainesville, Florida. No,
that's,
we never
that's
do
right.
that.
No, that's known. That's known. It's known that I'm in Gainesville. No, I was at the local Lowe's. I was telling Dave this. I was at the local Lowe's this week getting supplies to fix various things. And I'm sitting there. I am not in Gar attire. I'm sitting there. And someone said, Gar the Ghoul? And I was like, what? Huh? I look behind me like Gar is going to be behind me. What? It was an associate of mine that knew me, and I was like, oh, but I couldn't. My vision's not that great; it's getting worse. And I was like, who is that? Nobody knows me. What's going on? I thought I'd been infiltrated or something. It was weird.
That only happens in prison. But we have
hello.
A lot of
that was
fun.
Worse than the thing I said about boobs. Anyway.
He said the B word again.
Oh, where's my thinking goat?
There you go, the goat. I love that damn goat. I do.
It's the best birthday present I ever got.
I want one of my own.
That and the eeny, beeny, smelly, feeny, or whatever that was.
Oh, no, that's not what it is. You just want me to do it.
Eeny, meeny, chili beanie. These spirits are about to speak.
There you go.
Oh, that just slays me every time.
Spirits are about to speak.
Yeah.
Yep.
We were on air a few weeks ago, and Dale kept doing that, and I couldn't even talk.
Yeah, you weren't even on the show, I think. You were prepping for your TV show. It must have been a Saturday.
Yeah. I was doing
Saturday.
Something, and I was like, stop it.
We were doing Predictable Dave Predicts predictions. So.
Yeah, and I was just like, oh. No, I was on the phone with you guys. And you did that. I just started busting up. I just love that. Amy, beamy, smelly cheese. Whatever that is.
Smelly cheese?
I don't know.
Chili beanie.
Oh, that's it. Yeah,
yeah, it gives you a different kind of spirit.
Eeny,
meeny,
chili beanie. The spirits are about to speak.
Oh, that's when you have the five alarm firehouse chili. That's the spirits
that's
that are
right.
about to speak.
Yep.
Right.
Oh,
yeah.
Speak loudly.
You got flames coming out of both ends with that. Yeah.
Bullwinkle says, bring some Lysol. Yeah.
Especially with a little ghost pepper on the side.
Hey, Rocky, watch me pull a rabbit out of my Lysol. Hey, Rocky, pull my finger.
Sorry, I had to have a little Danger Island music.
That is Danger Island. Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. I've played that on Horrible Horror before. That is so, it's so ethnically
Martini
wrong.
Lounge.
Yeah.
It is. Uh-oh, Chapo.
It's weird. It's weird that so many of our cartoons are ethnically wrong, and yet we love them still.
Yep.
You know?
Yes, I do. It's hard. Hard not to. The great works
I was talking... I was talking to customer support before our show tonight, and I said, you know, I'm an older guy, but you guys made me triggered. I felt like changing my name to Karen. The heck?
Oh, my gosh.
And
that's
God,
a different kind of operation
I'm just a
you have to
I can't
have,
believe
bro.
You said that.
Oh. We have
to me, Trigger was a horse. I don't know what they're talking about. Beats me. I don't know.
Hey, though.
That's not a horse. This is a horse.
Hello.
One more time.
I'm Mr. Red.
Play it backwards.
There you go.
I want to hear it.
Play it backwards.
The devil. Yeah. Wait,
hello.
Had turntables. And with the turntables, if you had a good touch, you could play them backwards.
Really? You sure it said, was it saying, hello, this is Ernest Borgnine?
No, it did not say anything about Ernest Borgnine.
Ernest Borgnine, married to Ethel Merman.
Hello.
I wonder if they sang together.
I'm Mr. Red.
There's a part of my program where I pull up a box that says, Horrible Heart is brought to you by Fangmark Pharmaceuticals, makers of Brazilian mule headache tablets. It's a kick in the head. And it's got a mule in it and a sound effect. Yeah.
Hey, listen now.
Yeah. I reversed it. I didn't hear anything like that, Dale.
Yeah. That's
or do you have to reverse the song?
Yeah, you have to do the whole
gentlemen,
thing.
Gentlemen.
Oh, the whole
gentlemen,
thing.
Gentlemen,
yeah.
I must be away, and I will contact you tomorrow. I know. I'm sorry.
IZW. Blee, blee.
Well, be good. Stay out of trouble.
There's something you got to do before you go. There's something
oh.
you got to do before you
yeah,
go.
Might as well.
Oh. Hey, Mr. Durante. Mr. Durante. Mr. Durante. Your audience is waiting for you, Mr. Durante.
I'm not working here no more. Ha cha 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 cha.
Good night. Good night. It's time to say good night.
Good night.
Good night. What for this sake, but good night. We've had a few laughs, and it's time for toodaloo.
Tomorrow,
what we say, and ink-a-dink-a-doo. Good night. Good night. Good night, folks, and good night, Mrs. Calabash, wherever.
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.